which different views were expressed about how on earth you deal with this on your doorstep.
So they essentially met under the setting of a costume drama, really, where people in the 17th century would meet for a meeting.
Indeed, you're surrounded by pictures and portraits of the deans all around the walls. It's got a very formal atmosphere. It's what you might think of as a classic church-type meeting. And meanwhile, outside, 500 people were deliberating in a very different way.
So on the first day, there wasn't even a microphone. It was just people on the steps.
Kat Brogan, a poet and teacher and one of the activists who was there from the start of the protest.
And someone was speaking, and then I would literally just repeat what they had said to further down the crowd, like without a microphone, just with my loud voice. I think what was really new about it was the hand signals. There was an agreed communication method, almost like if you were diving.
They had signals for agreeing, for disagreeing, for raising a point of order and for voting. And there was the one that Kat describes as the rolling sea kind of signal, tumbling your hands over in the air, which meant hurry up and get to the point. The Occupy movement's meetings were designed to be different. Whether they were any better at getting things done, we'll leave that to others. But the church, the city, the protesters, they all met a lot.
I honestly really don't like meetings, and I try to avoid them like the plague if I possibly can.
A bishop. Is that a meetings heavy job?
Oh, I mean, we spend half our life in meetings.
He spends half his life in meetings. And as we all know from bed adverts, we spend nearly half our lives asleep. So if you add a bit of time for eating, that's basically a meeting, eating and sleeping lifestyle. What time is left for doing the things we plan to do in the meetings? People talk so much about spending all day at work in meetings. It's meeting after meeting after meeting. The meeting ran on. Oh, I've got another meeting. Thursday is all meetings. What are these meetings for? We meet to discuss doing things, but no one ever refers to the time spent then doing the things the meetings have decided. You might get the impression, listening to these programmes, that I'm someone who doesn't particularly relish the prospect of a meeting. And you'd be right. I'm certainly a meeting sceptic. But talking to people during the COVID restrictions has been an opportunity to reflect on the aspects of meetings that aren't about their ostensible purposes. How we come together, the rhythm of our lives, and how it's helpful to sit in a room with fellow humans and realise they aren't quite as annoying as we sometimes imagine them to be. But of course, meeting in the time of COVID doesn't mean meeting. We've taken the meeting out of meeting, and what's left? Zoom. And because of Zoom, the mundane meetings that make up daily life have got a bit more attention. Handforth happened.
They now elect a chairman.
No, they can't, because the vice chair's here. I take charge.
And the man who appeared for a meeting on screen as a cat.
I'm here live. I'm not a cat.
And the man who was upside down.
I'm sorry, Mr. Emmer?
Yes.
Are you okay?
I am.
You're upside down, Tom.
I don't know how to fix that.
It's been a strange few months. So how did we reach the evolutionary point where we're gathering to shout at each other on screens in the name of local democracy? The Dutch sociologist Wilbert von Vrij has spent a lifetime studying the story of meetings, from the campfire to Zoom. He wrote a book called Meetings, Manners and Civilization: The Development of Modern Meeting Behaviour.
Thanks for doing this.
Thanks for having me.
If you want a five-minute history of several millennia of meetings, Wilbert is your man.
I'm waiting for your questions.
Broadly speaking, he says it goes like this. Hunter-gatherers met around a campfire to talk things over and make plans. Then, as communities settled and got bigger, groups of warriors and priests started to hold their own meetings.
They made the most important decisions about life and death, about war or no war, what to do in case of calamities like fire or flooding or whatever. So those warrior councils became models.
And in the Middle Ages, I believe in some European countries, meetings were known as a thing.
Yes.
And is that the same root as a thing, as in an object or a...
I think so, yeah.
And is that a sign that it was something fundamental? If it's a thing, you know, people talk now about parties or gatherings or a launch. Some nebulous event might be referred to as a thing. There's some sort of thing tonight. Are you going to the thing later? But the earliest thing was a meeting.
Yes, yes. And that was the name of it. That kind of relatively small meetings of armed men, farmer warriors.